It was just what you needed for a place and time. Isn't that the way that you were blind? Took what you wanted, nobody was unkind. Had the heart and couldn't help having the mind to say the things you said to me. Quietly in earnest, my reckoning. Up against all you've got to lose. On the phone for hours, questioning the news. Try to give me a reason, but I'm not gonna ask for anything from you or dwell on the past. I'm just gonna name it and then I'll step away. Down by the river, I've got something to say. Like the things you said to me, quietly in earnest, my reckoning. Up against all I've got to lose, hanging out for hours, hanging out blues.
It is time for Talkin' Music on KVNF, your Mountain Grown community radio station. I am your host, Taya J. I had the chance to sit down with the legendary Lindsay Liu before she played The Orchard at Big B's Delicious Orchards in Hotchkiss this past summer. In the background, we're hearing Lindsay's track, Needed. We hope that you enjoy this interview.
Like the things you said to me, quietly in earnest, my reckoning. Up against all we've got to lose. Phone for hours, hanging up the blues, building up a temple for love's truth. Yeah, I'm just gonna name it and then I'll step away. Down by the river, I've got something to say.
Lindsay Liu, thank you so much for making time to chat with us.
Of course. Thank you for your patience.
No problem. I love rolling with the punches. How are you feeling? What's your mindset before a show like this? You're about to play The Orchard here at Delicious. What's your mindset going into something like this?
I mean, because I wear a lot of hats in the tour work, my mindset is always like, is everyone taken care of? Did everyone get dinner? Does everyone have what they need? Do I have what I need? I would say that probably more often than not, I am like in TM mode, and I have an alias when I'm in TM mode. I am Mona. I don't know if I've actually told them this yet. Mona. Mona is the TM name. I sort of have a little bit of a rotating cast for periods of time, and so former bandmates know about Mona, but I don't know if all of these gals know about Mona yet. But they know Mona, they just don't know her name. But, you know, Mona makes sure that you get lunch and all that. That's the main thing. It's like touring has, and this isn't everyone's vibe, but like it has really set me up excellently to just be like a star soccer mom. Because like we're on the road, we're living this kind of bizarre life. And I do appreciate and expect to some degree for everyone to take care of themselves, but we are really at the whim of the group and the schedule a lot of times. So just being mindful of, you know, making sure that everybody's comfortable and happy and fed and, you know, have a comfortable place to sleep and, you know, just basic things. Make a big difference, and it's really important to me to make sure that we all have that.
I know that the role of the female caregiver is a big theme on this new record. Can we talk about your grandma a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. So she was, you know, she had 12 children and had this like revelation that her calling is to be a mother to the whole world. And she did some pretty radical, extreme things with that as the basis. You know, and one of the ways that I put it was that she gave herself so fully to everyone that she could kind of be no one's. She really belonged to no one, but everyone felt like they had a special relationship with her. But different than most people have with their moms or their grandmas, you know, because she was just a different kind of person. And that was the one of the greatest ways that she influenced me, was just that she followed her calling and her muse, and regardless of what the people around her advised, for better or worse, you know, she did what she felt was authentic and true to, you know, for her it was like a higher calling.
You use the term communal caregiver, right, to describe her. Yeah, yeah. I think that's really interesting to think about that in caring for other people. How does that inform your own identity and who you are as an individual if your life's work, your calling is to care for others?
Totally. And, you know, she had also a very high expectation for people to take care of themselves and to care for themselves. And there's this article from like the Austin Statesman or something, and there's some quote that you know, I've seen these articles and read them, but one day one of the quotes kind of jumped out at me, and it was something about she had shaken the, or someone had come up to her and shook her hand. People called her Mother Nature, and so someone came up to her and was like, "Hi, Mother Nature, you know, I'm," and apologized for their hands being dirty, and she said, "Oh, I love to see dirty hands. That means that you are working, and I love to see people work." And anything taken to an extreme isn't what you want. But I really do believe, and when I as I've gone through periods of grief or of darkness, the thing that brings me out, well, there's multiple things that bring me out of it. My friends checking in with me is a big thing. You know, sometimes you get so low that you can't even help yourself. And it's like there are these bizarre degrees of hopelessness that we can fall into, even with all of our privilege, you know, which then drives you even deeper because then you've got guilt on top of it, right? You know, I had a friend like be like, "Lou, I'm going to call a therapist. I'm going to call my therapist with you on the phone so that you are," because I wanted to get into therapy, but like I felt like it was too much work or too hard to find the right person or to find, you know, just like anything. Sometimes everything is too hard if you're in this weird place. And you know, and then one thing leads to another, and now I'm able to like book my own appointments, and but it's like getting that first step can be hard. So that's one thing. But the other thing that has helped me maybe more than anything is just like connecting with my work, because work gives you purpose. And when you are in the darkness, you feel purposeless, right? So just like getting my hands dirty and like greasing the trailer bearings gives me so much joy, because I have purpose. It's like anything. And I just really, it inspires me so much to see people who do any job with the joy of wanting to do it well. That alone is enough to really pull you out of some serious funk, you know? So grandma's all over the record, and just like conceptually, I've built a lot of my ethos around things that she taught me growing up and things that happen in my community, different, you know, suicides and divorce and death and loss and the stinking pandemic on top of it all. It's like, you know, there's a lot of people who are going through, I know I'm not alone. We've went through some things, and that's part of life. So that's a lot of what the record is, moving through that and finding purpose and finding hope.
It seems like, too, in combination with the purpose and the hope is a really strong sense of self. Like, it seems to me like you're at a really different place in your creative journey than you ever have been. Will you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. you know, to know thyself is the greatest journey, right? It's like you, when you go through darkness, you've learned about yourself. You learn about what you're made of and what your true salt is all about. And so, like, the Queen of Time is the title track, and that is a lot about, you know, and I wrote it a long time ago, but it didn't really fit on anything. I don't think it was ready until this moment. But I wrote it thinking about Alice falling down the, you know, the rabbit hole and having her own dream demand that she declare who she is, right? There's something very gloriously prophetic about that. At the end of the day, that's what we get. And that's, I remember somebody, I took my grandma to a music festival and had her do the thing that I've loved so much about her, is just let her sit and rap about her life and experiences. And, you know, she had a lot of conviction and a lot of conviction behind her choices. So just hearing her rap about it was great, and letting people ask questions and everything. And afterwards, I remember my friend's dad, who was there, whose farm we were on, said that, you know, he came up to me and he said, it's amazing how much she went through to know herself. And I felt a little offended at first. Like, she didn't do that for herself. She did everything she did for others, you know, but really there's so much truth in that, that, like, I think that we're constantly, for better or worse, trying to prove who we are, or trying to make a stand about who we are, or trying to figure out who we are, you know. And it's such a simple, it's deceptively simple, right? And it never ends. And there was this point in my life years ago where I was going around asking older women if it gets easier, and unanimously every single one of them said no. Because it's a never-ending journey. And so once you know that, you can do, you know, what Gibran says. You watch with the same wonder your seasons of grief that you watch with your seasons of joy. You know, it's like, it's not that it gets easier. It's just that you can react or respond differently to it. I don't feel like this when I'm feeling low. But when I have clarity like this, I can see how lucky we are to get to know ourselves.
I think you touch on something really interesting, too, that in regards to the whole idea of being a caregiver or showing up for people or taking care of people, is the piece that we forget sometimes is that we also have to take care of ourselves. And it ties in really nicely to the sense that you have to know yourself in order to take care of yourself.
100%. Couldn't have said it better myself. What a thrill it is to not be needed. What a drag it is to be all thrills. I'm a wishing well, I'm a wishing well. Check it out. Fine.
That's Queen of Time, the title track off of Lindsay Lou's most recent record. Lindsay joining me today. How do you take care of yourself? What do you need?
I need enough sleep, number one. I need enough liquid, you know, enough hydration. I need enough quiet, and I like alone time, but it doesn't necessarily have to be alone time as long as it's quiet. You know, I have, you know, like many people, the pretty radical of ADD, and I get overwhelmed really easily. So I just need like reduced stimulation, and there is nothing I need more than to be able to share quiet space with the people that I'm around. And it doesn't even have to be quiet necessarily, but like non-engagement. Like we are just sharing space and we don't have to be talking, you know? Like I need that. I need to protect my peace, and I need space to just let my thoughts happen and unfold and like, you know, be with my thoughts. And when you're with someone, being with your thoughts, it's like they're still having an impact on you and your thoughts, and you're still communing and you're still communicating in a lot of ways. Like you don't, like we communicate so much without words. And I've since I've become a professional performer and singer over the last, you know, decade or so, I've had to take many days of silence because that's really the only way to get your voice back if you lose it. And I used to lose it more. But I learned so much about what I need to communicate and how beautiful silence is and how much you can communicate without words. You know, I love days of silence. I really only take them when I need to my voice to recover, but like I think I have taken them electively. I think I did it at least once, but I would like to do it more because I need that, you know? I need silence. I need space to be with my thoughts. I need sleep. I need hydration. You know, basic stuff. But they're so important. They're so easy to take for granted. And if I don't get any of those things, I start to be a crabby pants. And I can't. It's harder. Everything is harder.
You're coming up on a year of the Queen of Time being out. How is it feeling? How's the record feeling in its almost 1 year anniversary?
When I first released it, I felt a very marked sensation of release. I know it's like, it sounds funny because yes, I released something, but I also felt like I could release everything that I was going through when I was making it. It was striking how much I felt like that. And now that it's a year old, I feel like, all right, I've given it its time. I can feel that its time is, like, wrapping up. And it's not that these songs aren't going to come with me into the next thing, but I can feel, you know, like, I hope that it's something special to people that I'm playing the record front to back one last time. I hope it's not like, oh, I saw that at this place. I hope it's like, if you haven't seen it, come see it now. And if you have seen it, but you know a friend who might get something out of it who hasn't seen it, like, tell them to come to the show, because it's a different thing hearing the record live. And it just feels like a nice way to mark in this world that we live in of fast food music that comes to you in the form of singles and, you know, 30-second reels, to take some time and be in your humanness and experience an entire record played live with people in like a communing sort of sense. Just to hear a work delivered in its entirety, I think is a thing that we have. It's in scarcity, and I'm glad to do it one more time. And I do love performing something like a play, you know? It's like, when I love something, I'm the type of person where I like to go back to it over and over and over. I have a hard time, like, with new things sometimes. So I feel like it's like the closing of a chapter, which is insane. And I'm sure there's some stars doing some work, you know, up there in the sky that can, you know. Johnny Nicholas, I'm sure, I'm pretty sure she said something about this recently. But it's like, I feel it really deeply that this feels like a wrapping up of a chapter. And I feel excited you know, nervous. It's always like a little bit nerve-wracking, exciting and also nerve-wracking to be like, okay, what's, like, I have elements of the next thing, but it's yet to unfold fully. And over the next, you know, 3 or 4 months, that's what I'm going to be investing myself really deeply into, is letting that next thing show itself to me.
To me, the most exciting part is always the process, in a way. The final product is amazing, but the process is so rich and so challenging. Maybe you're in the thick of it, you're in the muck, but it's so exciting.
Yeah, totally. And I actually have a hard time with enjoying the fruits of my labor. I have way more enjoyment with the labor, you know? It's like I have to really remind myself to celebrate and to be ceremonious, so I can appreciate these marked moments of, like, you did that. Like, hang on for a second. Don't think about the next thing yet. Just, like, celebrate. Have some ceremony around this accomplishment or whatever. You know, that's a challenge for me. But I'm, you know, working on it.
Yeah.
And this is part of it, you know, letting this really, you know, round out the year and come to its full fruition. And make sure that anybody who's left who might want to hear it and see it live has the opportunity.
What do you hope people experience when they listen to the record or when they see you play it live?
I don't hope that they experience anything. I hope that they experience whatever they need or want, you know? Like, I'm not about to tell you what you need, you know? Nobody knows what you need better than you. But, you know, I heard this quote on Power of the Rings last night that, you know, the one elf guy was talking to the lady that he loves, and she's asking if there are healers in the elf world, and he's like, well, our bodies, like, heal themselves pretty good. So he's like, so healers in our world, their main purpose is to turn hard truths into works of beauty. And I was like, oh, yes. And I hope that's what I do. I hope that I can turn hard truths into works of beauty.
Love that. So much wisdom.
Thank you, elf guy.
Lindsay, thank you so much.
Yeah, totally. Thank you.
That's Lindsay Liu joining me today on Talkin' Music. We're going to go out with Nothing's Working from Lindsay Liu featuring Billy Strings. For more Talkin' Music programming, you can visit our website, kvnf.org, or tune in on the KVNF mobile app. I'm your host, Taya J. Thanks, as always, for listening.
Absolutely nothing, nothing for to show. She's feeling helpless like there's nowhere left to go. Things she set out to do is she made sure we're done. She's feeling dismal, but she's not the only one. Take time to listen to the lonely ones. Watch how the pain lives underneath the skin. Forgotten words and lost love won't make the clay. Sentimental journey, trying to stay high. Wave goodbye. Pray to the hologram high up in the sky. Is it for justice or is it just for the crime? Take time to listen to the lonely ones. Watch how the pain lives underneath the skin. Forgotten words and lost love won't make the grave. Thank you.
to the quiet ones. Watch how the rain gives up a chance to swim. Burn broken bridges and